Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to come and share with you a testimony of hope. And I'm thankful that Pastor David Jeremiah was using my 9/11 experiences in that sermon that he preached like a year and a half ago. I mean, it's hard to believe that it's been two decades since 9/11. And God has seen fit to somehow continue to use my testimony, and others are still using it to this day. It's just hard. It's humbling to me that it's still relevant. And so as you rise in the morning or in the evening, whenever your shift is, to go to work, you really don't know what the day holds for you, do you? You don't know what the day holds, but you have hope that the day is going to be good. And you're usually thinking about the tactical things that are going on, your to-do list, you know. And what you don't know is that today may be a Pearl Harbor-like day, and your life is going to be a part of it. And so as I look around the room, I see first responders. When they get up for their shift, I'm sure they're thinking about the fact that they're going to be in harm's way. So in their mindset, they're thinking, this could be a dangerous day. But those of us that are in positions of leadership, and you think about when you go to work in the morning, you're not thinking that an airplane is going to crash into your office and perhaps take your life. On September 11th, 2001, my day started like it always does. I kissed my wife, Joyce, goodbye, told her I loved her, got in my car, started driving to work, hour and 15 minutes, so I normally prayed on the way to work. And so I remember asking God to just thank you for the day. I pray that you guide and direct my steps, help me with the tasks I have today, and bring me back safely to my family. And I start praying for my family, and then once I finish praying, I start thinking about my to-do list. And it was a big day. This day was the day that we were going to move from the C-ring on the first floor of the Pentagon to the opposite end of the Pentagon in the basement. So we had a 10 o'clock staff meeting. And then at noon, the movers were going to come, grab our stuff, and we're going to escort them over because it was all classified stuff. And you know, we'd get into our new digs and set up. So it was going to be kind of a down day. So I started packing up the last few things that I had to put into boxes. And I remember about 9:15, Sandra Foster, one of my colleagues, came into my office and said, "Dan, you got to go see what's going on. World Trade Center, two airplanes into the Trade Center. We're under attack. We think we're under attack. You got to come watch this." So I grabbed my coffee, went down to my senior executive's office, had a big leather chair there. I sat down with my Starbucks coffee, and I'm watching all this unfold. I can't believe it. You know, we're all trying to make sense of what's going on. I sat there for about 20 minutes probably, and then I just had this nudge, or I felt like I needed to get up and move back to my office. And so I remember looking at Chuck Sabin and just saying, I can't believe this. And as I walked out of the room, Patty Mickley, one of my colleagues, came and sat in the same chair that I was in. People were starting to gather around the TV. I walked down to near my office, and right before my office, I turned in to see Lance. And he was working on a briefing, and he swiveled around in his chair. I said, "Lance, you got to go see what's going on here. This is terrible." And the whole room just blew up. Now, we know now that at 9:37, American Airlines Flight 77 hit the E-ring and torpedoed from the third floor down to the first floor like a missile into my work center. The work center was about twice the size of the sanctuary, but it it unloaded everything into our skiff. All the passengers, all the fuel, the energy was unbelievable. And I can just remember being thrown forward like a rag doll. I was weightless. I just was being pushed to the floor. And I remember seeing flames fire out of my peripheral vision. And I went to the floor unconscious. When I came to, I called for Lance. Didn't hear anything. And I instinctively just bowed my head. I prayed audibly because I couldn't move my leg. I was pinned to the floor. And I just said, Lord, help me get my leg loose and show me the way out. Now, at that moment, I knew that my hope, my only hope, was in God. I had no hope in myself or that somebody was going to come rescue me. My hope was in my Heavenly Father. And you might ask, well, why was my hope in my Heavenly Father? How did I have any confidence that my Heavenly Father was going to save me from this situation? Well, I knew it because He was going to be able to save me physically because He had already saved me spiritually from my sinful self. And so, I think back on that day. That was not the defining moment of my life. And I didn't let it become the defining moment of my life. It was an important moment in my life because God physically saved me. But the moment that impacted my life the most, that moment was the moment I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You ask, when did that happen? Well, glad you asked. It was when I was 16 years old in Houston, Texas. Saturday afternoon, my dad laid the gospel out in front of me. Now, we grew up in a middle-class home, loving parents. I had a younger brother and younger sister. We didn't go to church a lot. I remember my mother dragging us to church. But we started going to church regularly probably when I was about 13 years old. And I remember my parents were becoming more spiritually minded and that they began to have a real relationship with God through putting their trust in Christ. So on this particular Saturday morning, my dad sat me down and began asking me a series of questions. Dads like to do that. So Dad says, do you believe in God? And I said, yeah, I believe in God. I don't know if there's ever a time I didn't believe in God. Do you believe that Jesus was real? And I said, yes. I mean, I learned about Jesus in Sunday school. I believe He was real. He goes, do you understand His purpose for coming to earth? Do you understand what His purpose was? And now I'm squirming a little because I'm thinking he's playing stump the dummy, you know? And I'm thinking hard because I don't want to answer wrong. And I'm saying, well, he came to teach us how to be good and what to do. And Dad said, yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. But what was His real purpose for coming? And so my dad started unpacking the gospel through the scriptures. And so he took me to Romans 3:23 and said, because of all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we've all sinned. Well, that wasn't hard for me to figure out. Nobody had to teach me. I didn't go to some short course. None of us did in here on how to sin. We all know how to do things against God and to be rebels and all that. It's just part of our nature. And so I understood that. And then he took me to Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. So I'm going, oh, great. The wages of sin is death, and the payment for my sin is death. That's eternal separation from God because I'm not holy. I can't be in His presence if I'm not holy. And so the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what he shared with me in that verse. And then he went to John 14:6 and said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Simple. And then we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so I sat there. My dad went on to explain the reason. He said Christ came because he paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. He came to be the mediator between man and God to restore the relationship that had been broken by sin in the garden. And my eyes were wide open at that point. It all made sense to me. That's the clarity of the gospel. Jesus came as the God-man to reconcile us to himself. And he did that by being born without sin, living a perfect life from cradle to grave. Every aspect of his life, from the time he was a baby to the time he was 33 years old. He was tempted, as we are all tempted, but he did not sin at all. So he was without sin. Why is that important? Why is that important? So that he could be our perfect substitute to satisfy God's judgment on our sin. So on the cross, God treated Jesus as if he had lived your life and my life. He poured his wrath down on his Son, his perfect Son, so that he could treat those that would put their trust in him as if we had lived his life. Wow. So God, on the third day, rose him from the dead, raised him up as proof that his death on the cross was total satisfaction in God's eyes and payment for our sin, so that we could be reconciled. That's the gospel, and I remember it well because I was all in. My eyes were open to the truth. It all made sense to me at that point, 16 years old. And so I'd never prayed out loud. I'm getting nervous as a kid here. And my dad's asked me, do you want to pray that prayer of salvation? Do you want to commit your life to Christ? And I said, yes. So I bowed my head and I thanked God for saving me from all my sins, past, present, future. Now, that was the defining moment of my life, because that was the moment that God redeemed me, brought me into a personal relationship with him through Christ. And it meant that I was his and he was mine. And that's where my walk of faith began. And I began to learn of him and trust him and learn his ways and pattern my life after him. And that's where I am. I'm not there yet, but my pattern is set. So on 9/11, as I started that day, my pattern of life was already there. And I put my trust in him every day. I was in his grip, and nothing was going to pluck me out of his hand. He moved me out of the path of the aircraft. I mean, I was 1 minute from impact. Less than a minute, probably, because I walked from here to the door and turned into Lance's office. The aircraft came cruising through behind here and took the lives of 8 of my colleagues. Now, my coworker Lance, who was facing me at the time, I don't know how you explain this, he was somehow blown over the cubicle somewhere else in the room. I was smashed to the floor. He wasn't there. He crawled out a different way, and when he got out to the center of the Pentagon, the courtyard called Ground Zero, he's telling everybody, Hooten's dead. He said, he blew by me in a ball of fire. He's vaporized. This is for you, Terry. Later that night, I had a chance to talk. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional, but I always do when I remember the day. Lance told me on the phone, he said, man, I thought you were gone. But he said it was weird because there was like this angel in front of you. There was something blocking the flames from you. Now, I only had a few burns on me. I had all shrapnel wounds, but it was amazing that he would give me that testimony. And so that was his testimony of what happened to me, and it was convicting to me. So I stand before you tonight as living testimony that God has us in his grip. If you put your trust in Christ, you are his. I am his always. If I had perished that day, I would still be in his grip. I would not have been out of his grip. I would have been in his presence. And so I ask you tonight, where does your hope lie? Where does your hope lie? More importantly, where does it lie right now? Where does it lie? Because we're not guaranteed another moment or another day. And so if you're here tonight and you have put your trust in Christ, then let him be your hope every day and your beacon of hope as you face each day. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, then I would ask you, do not delay. Pray that spontaneous prayer where you are right now, claiming Christ as your Savior. There's a great hymn called The Solid Rock that captures our theme for our gathering tonight. The first verse is, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." That's my testimony of hope. Thank you.